It's week 14, 2021. LinkedIn is ramping up its tools before launching Marketplace. Facebook is shock getting into newsletters. We throw some cold water on Discord. And we're going to talk about how secondhand is going full on mainstream. And this is by far the most we'll talk about Microsoft in one pod, we promise. Let's get to it. Welcome to Clickbait and Switch, a marketing podcast that tries to cut through the bullshit and hook you up with what you need to know, what you don't, and what stories should be getting more love than they're getting. I'm Mark Dolinsky. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Shisella Slazer.
Boom! Let's get started. LinkedIn made a couple of updates last week that put video front and center prior to its launch of its freelancer platform, Marketplace. So, what's going on, Gisella?
Yes, video is front center and particularly at top. Now you can have a video for your cover on LinkedIn to introduce yourself to other users, potential hirers. So once you add your cover story, there's going to be an orange ring. That's a new color entering the platform, I feel.
Yeah, the weird highlight color.
Yes, there's always some highlight color to indicate. So it's going to be orange. It's going to appear around your profile photo. And then there's going to be like a preview of the video that will autoplay silently within your photo frame, which LinkedIn is calling the quote Harry Potter effect. I think it's cute.
I think it's going to be terrible, but I also just, like, if it's going to be the Harry Potter effect, is everyone just going to be like awkwardly waving or like painting things awkwardly? Like if you're an art director, like in all those Harry Potter images where people are like, oh, I'm a painter.
I don't know. I think it's a better use of video for LinkedIn than what we've seen so far in things like stories, which still feel awkward on the platform. This feels like it's actually useful. And as a freelancer, for example, you can introduce your services. You can talk about your resume. It's a sales pitch.
Promote your podcast, which you probably have as well.
Yes, we should do that. There's also a new creator mode that would move like feature content activity sections at the top of a person's profile. And it would change your button from connect to follow, which is, again, an interesting move for LinkedIn because LinkedIn is all about connection. So now offering the opportunity to follow is shifting a little bit their main objective. So yeah, interesting way of merging kind of the more trending social media platform tools to the LinkedIn environment. And of course, remember that back in March 1st, I think, we talked about LinkedIn launching its new marketplace for freelancers. They bought a startup called App Council to help them figure this thing out. So all these product updates make sense with the idea of launching a marketplace for freelancers.
Yeah, and it's fun that LinkedIn's just trying to do some new stuff and change it up. And why not?
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, Facebook is getting into newsletters because they want to support independent voices, so they say.
So they say. A couple of weeks ago, they published their plans for adding tools to the platform. These tools would launch in the US. And among them, we have a free self-publishing tools with robust styling options to create individual website and email newsletters. So a little bit different from what they have now that it's called articles that brands can use.
But that nobody uses. Like nobody uses articles.
I don't think so. Yeah.
It was always cool, the technology, and it was a cool layout, but nobody used them.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have worked, but yeah, it didn't take off.
There's no buy-in.
So maybe they're trying that out now for individual users or quote independent voices. There's also going to be an integration with Pages, the ability to create Facebook groups and to nurture communities of readers. So it's really geared towards kind of the independent creator. And it sounds a lot like what Twitter is launching, right?
Yeah. So Twitter, they hooked up with Review to create these newsletters. And I was playing around with it. And it seemed very limited in terms of what you could do, the styling options. I mean, you can create the headlines and images and insert all these different things into the newsletter itself. But broadly speaking, I felt like it was very limited in terms of styles. Now, I was just asking myself, why am I not just using MailChimp if I want to go down this route of having a newsletter? But if they have these robust styling options, as they say,
that might change things
for these quote independent voices, it could be useful. It could challenge MailChimp anyways.
It could be a more seamless experience, perhaps. We'll have to see how that actually plays out. But an article I was reading about the Facebook offer, this new publishing tools, was talking about a historian called Heather Cox Richardson, who is really her main source for revenue. Apparently, it's involving newsletters and subscriptions. And most of her subscriptions come from Facebook. And it seems she's making about $1 million out of this. So there's clear potential there to be seen.
Are we getting to the point where we're going to be inundated with different newsletters and subscriptions? Like, It's insane at this point.
The inbox is the new social media feed. So I think whatever we saw happen on social media, we're going to see happen to email, which scares me a little bit because I've always been a big supporter of email, quality email. But really, the space is so crowded already and commands so much attention that, yeah, it's an interesting development. We'll see what's going to come next.
And where can they sign up for the Clickbait and Switch newsletter, Gisella?
In the notes of this show. Good plug, Mark.
Boom. All right, let's talk about something that we're not quite sure if it's beta or not, but we're going to discuss it, and that's Discord for marketing purposes. So Microsoft has shown interest in purchasing the platform, presumably to combine with Game Pass, their gaming subscription platform. They want to buy it for $10 billion. And to put that in perspective, Disney bought the Star Wars franchise for $4 billion. So
crazy.
It's a lot of money. And Microsoft, you know, they tried to go out and get TikTok and that didn't quite work. So they're really trying to invest in this space where they've kind of lagged behind, unless, of course, you love LinkedIn. And then, as we've already discussed in the show, they've been trying to promote that a little bit more. But Discord has boomed during the pandemic, and now it's being used outside the gaming industry. So why is it or is it not interesting for Microsoft and general public?
I mean, using Discord for marketing purpose seems a little bit strange right now. There's already so many platforms out there, particularly, I guess we should explain for those who don't know what Discord is first. Maybe let's back it up. So in a very small nutshell, Discord is a popular group chatting app, and it was originally made specifically for gamers to give them a space where they can build communities and talk as they play and strategize together. So it's very audio-based, but it's also, if you try to go on it, I did a little bit of scouting last week, and it looks a lot like Reddit in a way. And there's some Reddit aspects to it. So it's a little bit like Reddit meets Slack meets Clubhouse, if you can imagine that. It's by invite only, but it's not really exclusive because you can Google, they're called servers, the groups, and find invitations. So yeah, it's really expanding outside of the realm of gamers, but it's still kind of niche. I mean, I don't know anyone that uses Discord personally. Not that I know a lot of people, but I haven't heard of anyone personally that uses it. But there are, for example, book clubs being hosted on Discord. Libraries are tapping into this platform as well. So I guess there are some aspects of the tool that are unique to the tool, but...
But at the moment, for marketers, there's no real point in jumping in on this trend just blindly going, oh, Discord's hot. Let's figure out a way to use it. It's not really the space for that. It's kind of like Clubhouse. It's like, what rooms are you hosting and what rooms are you sponsoring? Why? And you can never control things. It's a weird space at the moment. And we don't really know why marketers would want to join it.
Yeah, like anything, you shouldn't force it, right? If it makes sense with your audience and what you're trying to achieve, then yes, go for it. But
it's like we were asking ourselves, how would Canadian Tire use this space? And we couldn't think of a reason.
Granted, we gave ourselves 5 minutes on this.
True.
Discussion.
I mean, you could create a conversation to talk about home renovation tips and stuff. I guess you could do that on Clubhouse too. But
why on Discord and on other ones?
And why not just do it on YouTube, where you could get the video and see the things at the same time and promote the product? Anyways, we're not sure yet. So we don't know if it's beta or not.
No, but they do have, we should mention, interesting, like everything these days, a subscription model. So they have a built-in revenue aspect to it.
So moving on to the Switch, we're going to talk about how secondhand clothing really has become mainstream. I mean, we know that Macklemore had that hit song Thrift Shop. It's now got 1.5 billion views on YouTube, which is astronomical. But the reason we wanted to talk about it, we kind of hinted at it the other week, is that the Clarendon Trading Company, a secondhand store, that their mission is to mediate economic constraints and social inequalities through the reuse and recycling of quality materials. They've actually opened a second store location in the Scarborough Town Center in the Greater Toronto area. So a secondhand store getting really prime real estate in a shopping center isn't something you necessarily would have expected a couple of years ago. We all know vintage clothing became really hot and hip, and vintage t-shirts a couple of years ago sort of, you know, hit their stride amongst the youth. And I assume, Gisella, you have a bunch of like Cabbage Patch Doll t-shirts that you bought in an insane markup in your closet. But it's kind of a radical change in the way we're starting to think of commerce. Last week, we talked about how shipping containers were slowing down the delivery of goods and things are going to get more expensive. And that all of those supply chain logistical problems are caused in part because we buy so much shit.
And we waste so much.
And we waste so much stuff. So, you know, in Canada, we all think of reduce, reuse, recycle. But we really only think about recycle. We don't think about reuse. And we almost never give any fucking thought to reduce. Whereas this is a shift in that. People are, while at the same time, looking for cool things to wear. Like on the Clarendon Trading Co. website, there was a sweet Indiana Jones t-shirt that I would have purchased. But again, I'm not going to pay $50 for a 30-year-old t-shirt that's faded and ripped. But hey, you know, that's not me, but maybe that's you, which is great. But it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's a brand. I mean, it's not a brand new way of looking at things, but it's great that this is trending and trending amongst the young people as well. There's been a ton of studies made that as a result of the pandemic, there's a heightened demand for sustainability and upcycling in general, which is really a win-win for clothing. I mean, the clothing industry is known to generate most of the pollution that we are currently dealing with in the world, and they have a huge amount of kind of dead stock. So these are clothing or fabrics that are not used or sold during the production, and this is cost for a lot of money being lost, up to 15% of the net income for large companies. So large companies are really trying to look at this now as a way out of it. How can they reuse this fabric, or how can they reuse old stock or dead stock? And it's really a win-win for business and for marketing. Not to say that brands should be greenwashing their marketing and making promises they're not making an impact. But yeah, so the Clarendon Company's model is super interesting. There's no factories involved. Granted, I'm assuming there is some sort of distribution center or place where they wash clothing, hopefully with eco-friendly materials and ways. There's no long-distance shipping unless somebody far away buys a product from them.
Yeah, and it's really interesting looking at that idea of waste, because you're saying that 15% of the net income for large companies is lost with this dead stock. And on Mojo Moments, we talked, it's a podcast that's going to come out recently. We talked to David Cote, who is co-founder of Loop Mission. And one of the things that they do is they started out by taking all of the overstock, the stuff that was just going to go to landfill. They got contacted by one of the retail suppliers that just had 16 tons of vegetables going to waste and going to the landfill every single day.
That's crazy.
And so what they did is they found ways to use that. So they created pressed juices, they created smoothies, and now that they've expanded into almost everything, they've got soaps, they've got beers, they've got gins, and they're using those things that are being thrown away by other companies, and they're turning them into products that we actually want. So that's another way that you could do it. But you could also do it through sort of like upcycling, I guess.
Yeah, upcycling is the big kind of side trend from reusing that is happening in the world of fashion, particularly also furniture, I believe. So there's, for example, a resale site called The Real Real, which includes all garment upcycling programs by big brands like Balenciaga and Stella McCartney. So it's, you know, a trendy for the top trendiest of the trendiest. This site, it's specifically an authenticated luxury consignment site, but they also have retail stores locations where you can talk to an expert, you can receive a free valuation if you, for example, inherited a piece of clothing from your grandmother and you want to resell it in a fair way. So it's very similar to the antiques business in a way, the way this site is working, which is super interesting. Of course, we have to talk about Patagonia. I know Patagonia is kind of the example that we always use for marketing and business practices, but for reason, right? I mean, they have the whole program called Wornwear, which helps people repair the clothing that they have so they don't need to buy a new piece. So it's super interesting. And the way the Clarendon Company runs their business is a little bit more labor intensive, perhaps. They can't really plan ahead, right? That's part of the magic as well. And the magic of the hunt for the shopper. They source daily from things like estate sales and other resellers. All of their inventory is purchased. So it's not like they take donations, like let's say the Salvation Army, because they're a company for profit, the Clarendon, right, I believe. So they source every single day. This is how the business works. Starts by sourcing at 6 a.m. and then to about noon, and then goes into whatever rest of the process they have.
But yeah, with companies like, you know, Rent the Runway, ThredUp, it's becoming a massive industry. There's some research done by Global Data in 2019 that said that the clothing rental business is expected to reach $2.5 billion US by 2023. And then if you combine that with the resale market, it's going to account for 13% of the total $360 billion US in the clothing market, which is pretty fascinating.
That's great. The big question that we can end with, Mark, I think, is this the end of ownership?
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe the beginning of the end, right?
It's definitely a new way of seeing your relationship with clothes and relationship with what goes in your wardrobe, because we've seen the end of music ownership with Spotify, movies and TV with the various streamers and gaming. And then this might just be the next step in the revolution with clothing.
Yeah, so there you have it.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Cloudraker for making it happen. Thanks to Xavier for editing the hell out of this thing.
Don't forget to rate the podcast if you like it.
See you next week.
See you next week.